And so there are times in our life when we are looking at our own abilities that we can become troubled. How about this? There are times in our lives that we can focus on politics. We can focus on world events. We can focus on terrorism. We can focus on all this stuff. Just turn on CNN, Fox News, the Drudge Report. Turn them all on. Look at all of them. And you're here like, when is the world coming to an end? My opinion is very soon. But it would be a good thing for us. Now, this is my deal. If we get focused on all of this, and let me say this too, when it comes to politics, I'm not a political person. Oh, wait, no, that's not right. I'm the opposite of that. I am a political person. I like politics. I enjoy it. I like watching it. I can follow along. My favorite thing, and this is going to show you how much of a weirdo I am, I love looking at on election. I will take those important states that are going to be key states, and then I will open maps of these states, of counties, and then I will go in and look at how they voted last year in the total numbers, and I will write those all down and have them before me. And so as they're reporting, I'm like, okay, this one voted right or left last year, and this is what we have left. And then I do the math. How many people live in those districts? How many have reported? And then I am predicting before I ever hear who is the winner. And this last election, oh my goodness, Jesse messed me up because I said I wasn't going to do this. I said I'm not going to do it. I went to bed early, and Jesse came in the bedroom, and I don't know what time it was, but I was so close to being asleep. I was this close. And she says, you know, they actually, because it was Ron Johnson was not supposed to win. And she said, they're already calling Ron Johnson. I said, what? What, he won? And she goes, yes, they're calling it. I'm like, no. And I pick my phone up and I look, they've already called the race. And then she said, and they're thinking Michigan may swing, right? Wisconsin may swing. I mean, like, wait a minute. They were not even in play. What do you mean? These states were solid blue. What are you talking about? And then she says, no, they're believing that they're swinging right. So that, I'm here like, okay, I'll just read a couple blogs real quick, figure this out, look at some maps. So I'm in there, and I'm like, all right, no. So I get up, I put CNN on the television, Fox News on the computer, and then I had a New York Post on the phone. And I'm keep going back and forth, and I'm writing the numbers down, and I'm looking at all this, and I am predicting who will win what well before the news ever came out and said it, but I'm basing it on, you know, last year or last 4 years, and I'm looking at all this. But can I tell you this? The reason I brought up politics is because I follow it and enjoy it. I enjoy both sides. I enjoy their tactics. I watch their tactics. They're machines, man. They produce results on both sides, and they have different ways of doing it, but sometimes when you look at it, they can be ruthless and undaunting, and really sometimes I wonder, do they even care? Both sides, do they care about people at all? Or all they're doing is just a machine producing what results they want to see? But this is the thing, whether you voted right or left, whether you're on the right side, left side, whether you're in the middle, the whole bird, it don't matter. I'm speaking to all of you. The one thing we must never do is vote someone in and believe that that is our salvation. Because we will always be troubled. We will always be troubled if we vote someone in and then say, oh yes, now the church, we can rest. Now there is some truth to that to a degree, because the Bible says pray for those that are above you, so that it might be good with you. It might be good with the church if the right person it is. Yes, there is a right person. Yes, there is a wrong person. And yes, I'm going to go out here and flat out ruin some of your doctrine. God has a side. He does have a side. Thank you for the resounding amen from the back. God has a side, and it is up to the church, I believe, to be involved and change the world. I believe the church should change the world, because there are troubling times. They are coming. And it's the church that holds those troubling times back. And when those troubling times hit, it is the church that brings relief. But when we vote our person in, whether they get in or whether they don't, Can I tell you this? The church will continue to function. The church will continue to do its job. The church will continue to pray. And if our person gets in and the other half, we're like, I told you that side over there, we had the right one and you lost. Nah, 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 nah. No, that's not our response. And number two, we continue to pray for the person. They are not the answer. I don't think we've had a politician run for president of the United States that was an absolute good person for a long time. And it may have never happened. I don't know. I've never met all of them. But the point of the matter is once they get into office, we don't stop doing and being the church. We continue to pray. And even if we didn't vote for them, we continue to pray. And we don't pray this, dear God, kill them. Kill them. And we don't pray this either. Lord, I voted for Trump, but I like Pence. Kill Trump, put Pence in. That's not our prayer. That is not how the church, we are not the angel of death deciding who lives and who doesn't, you know? That's not who we are. But my point in bringing all this out, that if you put your faith in who is in office, whether they're making the right decisions or wrong decisions, whether God was for them, they were on the side of God, or whether they wasn't, our trust is not in them. If it is, you will always be troubled. You will always be troubled. Now, I agree. Guess what? This year, I voted. I vote every year. I voted. And do you want to know who I voted for? None your business. All right. It's none of your business who I voted for. That's why there's those little blocks on each side when I fill in. I don't even look at Jesse's. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I know who she voted for, but it's none of your business either. But in all of this, our heart is not after people. Our heart, let me rephrase that, that sounded wrong. Our heart is not in trusting that who we voted in or who's in office or what's going on in the world. Our heart is secure and at peace because of who we serve, not what's going on in politics or around the world. So we this morning should not be troubled. Now, sometimes I believe that's easier said than done. But if you're troubled and you stay troubled, I will tell you there's something wrong. If we have a trouble that pops up in our heart, and when I mean trouble, if there is a fear, an anxiety, if there's something that pops up in our heart, it may be a burden to pray. Hello? It may be a burden that we are called to pray about. If it's like me, I pray about politics all the time. I pray about those that are above us. And not only in America, I pray for around the world. I'm praying for France right now. France has a humongous election that is just as big as ours was, that is going to sway the country one way or the other in how they deal with terrorism and their borders. This is one of the most important elections that France has had in decades upon decades when it comes to international law. And so I'm praying for France. I've been praying for France. And, you know, France is an interesting country to begin with. But, you know, if we look at all these nations, if we look at Europe, if we look at France, if we look at Iran and Iran and Iraq and all these places and what is going on there, our heart could be troubled. You could be so overwhelmed. And my Lord, what a day we live in where my phone buzzes at me all the time and gives me political updates on what's happening, what law has passed. I know you set yours different. Yours may be Angelina Jolie and, you know, Brad Pitt and their children. Whatever floats your boat. And your dear Lord, help Angelina Jolie. And God, the way she treated Brad was terrible. Help him, Lord. I don't know where your prayers are. Hey, they need prayer too. But, you know, I don't know what God is leading you to pray, but I think it's a big deal just because mine might be more massive worldwide than yours local. I'm not going to knock you for what you feel God has led you to pray for. Because, you know, their lives could change and they could be one of the biggest donors to the body of Christ. Then your prayer could answer my prayer. they start digging wells in foreign countries. I don't know. You know, they could absolutely be the answer. And so what I want us to get out of this message this morning is that our heart is not to be troubled. And you know, we may pray for world peace. What is more to you? World peace. We may pray for that. We may want that. But I do want you to understand that there is prophecy that is coming to pass that we cannot divert. We cannot stop it from coming. But there are things that we are told that we can hold off. It's coming, but we can make it last longer. We can stop it from manifesting now. And that's one of the functions of the body of Christ, is to hold back. And I'll get into this. Now, we're going to be talking about end times a little bit, not much. You already know my thoughts on end times. I'm not an end time preacher. I don't focus on Revelation and all that, because one time I swam out there and I almost drowned and had to swim back in. So we're going to touch it just a little. And when I talk about end times, I don't go to the book of Daniel and then over to Revelations and cross parallel. And because I remember being in a meeting, they're like, now look at Daniel in the 40th week over here in Revelations. It's talking about them. How do you know? It doesn't even say that. Well, we just know because we're smarter than you. and they are. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, they are much smarter than me. I would never even cross parallel all that together. They have charts, beautiful, humongous charts that they point to. One day I'm going to print a chart for no other reason to have one. A massive chart back here. And be like, look at this right here. This is where we are. Yeah. And then this is a beautiful picture of my daughter. Isn't it wonderful? Just charts. Just lots of charts. But so we're going to talk about end times. And so there are some things coming. And I have talked to my lovely wife and people in my family, and they have made statements such as this: end times freak me out. Like, I don't understand them. I don't know what's going to happen. This whole resurrection and, Jesus coming back, and I don't know all of it. And I don't get it. I don't get it. It freaks me out. Can I tell you something? There is a lot of things in the body of Christ I don't 100% get. I just know that are going to happen. Or I know that this is God's law and His will, and we walk in that whether we completely understand it or not. And so I just want to encourage you this morning that there are things that will be coming, but the body of Christ, we always have to filter it through what we know, which is God's word, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, who says, I will always cause you to be victorious, who says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And people misuse that scripture. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. They get their hoop on. If you don't know what hoop is, don't worry about it. But hooping is, preaching. Ha, ha, ha. And so in this hoop, they get, and Jesus is coming, and no weapon formed against you shall, and they back up. I don't know why they back up. They back up while they're talking about these end times. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And they make it sound like nothing will ever come to you, that you'll never have to face anything. I'm just going to walk through the battle and I won't be hurt and nothing's going to be said. And where I go, flowers are blooming and the glory of God will shoot through like a shaft and destroy all my enemies. I believe that that is true. But if you think you're going to face no hard times, you're out of your mind, because God says no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Weapons will be formed. Weapons will come. Attacks will hit you, but it will not. Hello. It will not prosper. What does that mean? It will not come to the end that it was designed to do. The end, it was supposed to knock you out. It was supposed to destroy you. And you kept moving on and moving forward. I don't know. And I know I keep going back to movies. No, this is not biblical. But like in The Terminator, where the guy gets shot and he keeps walking forward and he gets shot again and they just keep running. I just imagine that's who I am. The devil is just shooting at me and I keep walking forward toward the goal that he has called me to. He makes it to the other room. He bows down with the rest of his imps. And he's like, I don't know what's happening, but I believe we're about to die. We have to leave this area. We have to leave this house. We have to leave this property, because I've shot everything I got and he keeps coming. There's somebody at the door. I know who it is. Let's get out now. The weapon may have been to destroy your home, to destroy your family, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your finances. It may have been to knock you completely out. And yes, you felt the heat. Yes, it hurt. But you kept moving forward. It did not prosper. Yes, it was formed, but it did not prosper. You are still here. You're still telling the goodness of God. You are still standing up and overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the words of your testimony. Good Lord, that'll make you kick a little bit. Oh my God. Woo! Y'all better stay out of the aisles because I feel like I might run this morning. Now, God is always moving. God is always moving. Are we moving with Him? Oh, don't quiet down on me now. We're getting into the good stuff. We're about to get into the meat of the scripture here. Now, shouting's not going to change your life. It may add to your life, but it is the word that gives you something to shout about. So we must continuously change. And there is going to change is going to bring transition. And transition can bring pain and uncomfortability. God, I finally made it. I'm doing good. And my paycheck is nicer, Lord. Now you're telling me to change into something unknown. I don't like this. I just want to stay here. I finally accomplished some things. My family's going on vacation on a regular cycle. We're not missing. Sometimes, Lord, we go on two and then we have mini vacations. Life is good. Let's stop the change. You know what? If you want to bring change, bring it at Pastor Rena and Tim because I'm happy where I am. Change them, Lord. You've already changed me enough. And sometimes that's our mentality, but can I tell you something? God never brings transition. God never brings change that He's not taking you from glory to glory. God doesn't take you from glory to mess. He doesn't take you from greatness to destruction. God takes you from glory to glory. And this is what we must do. As a church, we must come so confident in God that we believe His word. We may not see it. Circumstances may actually contradict what God's word says. But we look and say, God, there is a change that is coming. I will follow You. You lead me. You guide me. You direct me. And I know I'm leaving the place I'm in, but I'm rising up to greater glory because You are for me. So who in this world could ever be against me? God is going to keep taking you higher. He's not bringing you lower. So when change is coming, He's taking you to another place that you are going to enjoy in your life. But getting from here to there may not be the greatest thing in the world. It may not be the most comfortable. Have you ever gone on vacation that you drove a long ways? I remember me and my family, we go down to Florida every year to my family, where I was raised, where I grew up. And one time, I don't know what was wrong with me, but something mentally was wrong. And we drove, which can be a 17, at the very fast, a 17 and a half hour trip. And I just thought, let's drive it. No, bad idea. And so we're going. My idea was to drive through the night so the kids can sleep. People don't sleep for 17 and a half hours. And so, you know, we went on this long trip. And first of all, my hard times are between 4 and 6 in the morning. That's my hard times. I have to stay awake and I have to. This is it, you may be different. If I'm eating, I'm awake. So I gotta have some food, gotta have a drink, and I gotta have music on. And my kids and wife is asleep, so it's gotta be in my earbuds. And I mean, it's gotta be jamming because I have to stay awake. And I'm rocking out and I'm praying, dear God, please don't let Jessie wake up because she knows I'm a nerd and a dork. And if she sees me dancing like this, it's only gonna prove it. It's going to be rock solid in her mind. And this is not the way I want her to remember me. And so, you know, I'm rocking out. I'm staying awake. But then we make it in all the way. And then I'm exhausted. And I have a tradition. Just as soon as I get to my house, my mother's house is on Florida, on St. George Island. The backyard is the Gulf of Mexico. And so I don't care what time of the day it is. If it's 2:30 in the morning that I make it there, or if it's 12 noon, I am going to walk out on the beach. That is what I'm going to do. And I am exhausted. And all I want to do is sleep. And I walk out to the end of the deck, the end of the walkway, and I'm just looking at the water. The waves are crashing. The sun is up. The smell of salt air. Oh, it's just beautiful. And I'm thinking, God, that was a horrible trip, and I will never do this again except to go home. Lord, forgive me of my sins and transgressions against you. I know you spoke to me and said, fly, but for some reason I didn't hear it. So the trip to get to that higher level may be uncomfortable, but the rewards of obeying is well greater than where you were. And you know what? I was there. I drove home. And when I got home, the rewards were so much greater. Every trip God has you on, the rewards are greater than where you were. So how, you know, and when we get together, one thing I want to, I've had people say this, I can have church all by myself. You can connect with God all by yourself. I'll give you that. Absolutely. But God called the church. It's his organization. He's the one who designed it. He is the one who created it. And he created it for a purpose. Now, there are a lot of purposes of the church, but one thing I want to tell you, and this is so interesting to me. Have you ever, you know, played sports and then you have a grandstand that is cheering you on? There is something electric. There is something that's just amazing. And, you know, you can go back. I'm trying to remember the year it was when the Brewers were way up there. In attendance, I mean, the stadium was packed, and it was down to, you know, we were last at bat, and we were almost, it was so close, and if we didn't at least score the tie and then make another run, we wouldn't win. And so it's at the last end, two outs, we got somebody on deck ready to hit, and the whole stadium is standing up, and they are cheering, and everybody is engaged. You know, sometimes when you go to a game, there's people that are eating and talking, but at this moment, everyone is engaged and focused on this one point. And they are all clapping. They're doing, you know, their chants. I'm not going to do it because you don't want to hear my voice and all that. Let's go Brewers. And they're clapping their hands and they're all in sequence, all standing up. And then to the pitch, we had two strikes. We had three balls and no one knows what's going to happen. The last pitch, he knocks it as a home run. We win the game. Everyone goes nuts. Beer is poured out everywhere and everybody's getting soaked and no one seems to care. You want to know why? Because they were all in one accord, and there is something electric about an anointing. There's something electric about when two people agree on one subject. We can see it in the world. It happens in the world, and they're not even connected to something spiritual. How much more is it that when the body of Christ comes together for one focus, one accord, in one mind, focused on what God has called us to do, there is an electric energy. And I won't call people out, but can I tell you this? I've told several people this throughout the church, and trust me, I watch you. This is what my little girl would do. I'm watching you. I'm watching you. And some of you, your praise causes me to praise God even more. Praise changes atmospheres. Praise someone I can talk about because she's not here is my mother. But my mom is an atmosphere changer. Amen. She changes atmospheres. You want to know how she does it? She begins to praise God. And it'll look different than yours, and yours will look different than mine, and mine will look different than somebody else's. But as we praise God, there is an electricity, there is an energy that is spiritual that will cause walls to fall, chains to break off, and bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. They will walk in this place and say, I have no idea what it is in that church, but when I'm there, it's like a breath of fresh air. All of a sudden, I can't tell you what it is about the church, but when I go there, I just, it's because there is a corporate anointing. And the Bible tells us that one puts 1,000 to flight and two put 10,000 to flight. And we have a lot more than two people here. When we get together, all of hell pays attention. They want to know what we're about to say. They want to know what we're about to do. They want to know what we will allow and what we will not allow. They have to operate inside the functions of the church. They have to operate when they get their power. They have to operate in looking around and saying, what will our church allow us to do and what have they commanded us to stop? Because if they touch one subject, it shall be done. If they touch one subject, if they loose something, it's loose. If they bind it, it's bind. So we have to listen. We have to pay attention, because what will our church allow and what will they not? All of hell pays attention to this church. You know who else pays attention to this church? God. And the beauty of it is He attends every service. He attends every service. Because His presence are here. Where two or three gathered together in My name, God says, I am in the midst of them. I inhabit the praises of My people. Yes. Yes. So let me just say this. Just because we gather, when we gather in His name, He's here. He's here. But when we praise, He inhabits. Yes. Yes. He shows up to every meeting, but He inhabits. Yes. Jesse, can you stand up? I haven't even asked her permission about this yet. Stand up for me. You stand up, please. And so Jessie's here, and we'll just say she's here in My name. And so I am in her presence. But then Jessie begins to praise me. You want to go ahead? You want to say anything? Oh, I like that. I like that. That was good. Anything else you want to say? You're kind. I'm kind. I like that. Anything else?
You're generous.
I'm generous. Oh, I like this. I like this. Anything else you want to say? There is a difference. I had to choose her. I couldn't choose none of you. But there's a difference of being in someone's presence and then inhabiting them. And when you need God's blessing, when you need God's victory, you want Him to inhabit you and inhabit your situation. So how can I get from just being here to God inhabiting my whole situation? You begin to praise Him for the outcome He already said He would deliver. God, I know You're here. Why aren't You doing something about this? That's the wrong approach. The approach is, God, You're right here with me, so I thank You for that. And I see this mountain. I speak unto this mountain. Be ye removed. Hey, we got an ocean on the east side. Why don't you just go ahead to the east coast and dip yourself in it right now? And God inhabits the praises, goes before you, and makes the crooked places straight. Oh, my good Lord Jesus. Woo! Sometimes you don't know what to do except but to praise Him. You'll have to forgive me if I jump around and shout a little bit. None of your business anyway. God's inhabiting my praises. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. So there is an anointing when we begin to praise Jesus. I'm going to tell you, if you don't praise the Lord... Because I don't know if you've noticed where I sit in service. I'm normally right here close to where my wife sits. And I just want to give you notice. You that are in direct area of me. If you don't praise the Lord, I'm going to ask an usher eventually to move you and put someone who does. The good news is y'all have all stayed. So good job. You didn't even know my rules yet. But my rules are, if you don't praise Jesus, you don't sit behind me. You want to know why? Because I feel the energy. I connect with you in praise. And if I'm having maybe a rough morning, you prod me on to praise the Savior at a level that I would not have without you being there. There is a corporate anointing. So maybe next time you need to look around where you're seated. You might have to move. I don't know. How many of you found Matthew chapter 24? And he set, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming, the end of the world? Now, this word end actually is the word, let's see if I can pronounce this correctly, aion. Aion. And it actually means a period of time or age. So we're not talking about the end of the world, I'm sorry, as we know it, but we're talking about an end of a time age. What age are we in right now? Okay. All right. My Bible students, what age are we in? The church age. We are in the age of the church. So what the disciples are asking, God is talking about the church age that is a coming, and that he is going to come back, and the church age will end, and then we'll step into a new age. And so they're asking, when will this time period end? Jesus was preaching. They didn't fully grasp it. So now, and this is also a good reason why you should be in Help's ministry. Because Help ministry gets to hear things that the whole body doesn't get to hear. Can I tell you something? As ushering, I remember I loved ushering. Because all of a sudden, I don't know if you've ever seen a minister turn his mic off and lean in and tell somebody something. And if you're the usher, I would just lean in a little bit further. Like, uh-huh. Oh, that's good. That's good. And so all of a sudden, I get to hear things that nobody else got to hear. And also, I could tell you this. It was training for ministry to see how to do some of the things that God puts on your heart to do. And so, and I'll tell you this as well. Leadership knows things before the rest of the body. Ooh, that's not fair. Grow up. It's a part of life. Leadership will always know things before the rest of everybody else. Just the way it is. So if you want to know some things, get involved in your local church. I will promote the church all the time. Why? Because it's God who designed it. It is God who designed it. Now, where did we leave off? Okay, so the end of time period, the end of the church age. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Can I tell you something? The reason he's telling you to take heed that no man deceives you, because it's possible to be deceived on this subject. So we can be very deceived. If you don't believe that, look at how many theologies are about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. We don't even know when he's coming as a whole. Let's take a poll. How many are pre-trib? And before you raise your hands, let's just say this. This means that before the Antichrist steps into place, that Jesus Christ is coming and taking his body. How many of you are pre-trib? Let me see your hands. Oh, some people are so afraid. They're like, Okay, mid-trib. We're going to experience, the Antichrist is coming into reign. He's going to be just mean, because, he's chosen by the devil. And so we're going to go in the middle. How many are mid-trib in this place? Anyone? Oh, I got a couple mid-tribs. All right. How many are, we're going through the whole tribulation. We're going to go all the way to the end. And, the Left Behind series was wrong. All this. Can I tell you something? Don't get your doctrines from movies. You'll be messed up. You will be messed up. It's a movie. Let it go. I know that the Ark and Moses, Noah, and all this good stuff, they got it wrong. It's a movie. It's Hollywood. They're not anointed. Of course, they're going to get it wrong. They're always going to get it wrong. But there might be bits of truth, and people are worried and will come talk to us about it and get them saved. Use it for your good. So anyway, in all of this, how many are, we said pre, mid, and post-trib. How many of you are post-trib? We have post-tribbers. We have them all. We have everybody represented this morning. I'm pan-trib. Everything's going to pan out, and I'm going when we go. I'm just going to go. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going to get up, get right on out of that ground. Oh, that's an old song. Sorry. I can't help it. Sometimes Pentecost church comes back. So Jesus is coming back. Now, I absolutely lean toward pre-trib. I like it.
That's not a base to, you know, for doctrine, right? That's not to base doctrine off of. I just like that. Let that be, Lord. That's not the way it works. But, you know, so they're talking about this. They're asking about the age coming to an end. And Jesus says, don't be deceived, for many shall come saying, I am Christ. And we take this as, you know, Christ is Jesus' first or last name. You know, that's what many people, they're coming to say that they're Jesus. That's not what it said. It said Christ. What is Christ? Christ means the anointed one. The one who has all the answers. The one who can make everything go correctly. When have we not had a president that said that? Or, you know, across the nation. I am the answer. I am the only way. Well, let me quote from one of our past presidents. A light will beam down from the heavens. Oh, you didn't hear that speech? Oh, well, look at you. Google it. I won't tell you who it was. Oh, somebody said the wrong name. No, it wasn't him. But anyway. Anyway, there was a president said that a light will come from I don't know where. And then he said heavens and shine down and we'll lead the way. Can I tell you, this mentality that I am the anointed, I am the only way, the other side's gloom, doom, and destruction, they may be right to a degree, absolutely, but when they present themselves as the only way, they're fulfilling prophecy. Many shall come and say, I am Christ. Has nothing to say. It's not leaning toward. We will get to the place of God. But can I tell you something? In the beginning, the Antichrist himself will not say he's God. The Bible tells us that he will sit upon the throne and then he will claim he is God. And when I say he, let's go back to the biblical meaning of he, mankind. I have not made my decision whether or not the Antichrist will be male or female. Because biblically, I don't think it absolutely tells us. Even if you look up the word, and we'll get to it, son of perdition. The word son means children. It means children. Until the son of the children of perdition. Hello. And then when it says he, it means human beings, male or female. So I have a personal opinion on whether it will be male or female. And some days I'm persuaded on both sides. Some days I look at her, he could be a female. And some days I look at, he could be male. Like, I don't know. But can I tell you this? What does it matter? I plan on not being here. And if I am, still don't care. Even if I have to hide in a cave, God will send a calf in so I can eat. And I will eat the filet mignon. I will share the flank with whoever wants it. And they will be at the most medium well. Other than that, I will politely but firmly ask you to get out of my cave. All right, now let's read in verse 6. And this is the sign. We shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Has the world ever been in so many wars at one time than we are right now? And we are in rumored to be at war with Iran. We are rumored to be at war with North Korea. We have even stood up and said, China, you take care of North Korea or we will. And then the whole world, we seem to be battling fronts like never before. We're fighting ISIS on multiple nations, multiple lands, and there is no front. We are at war and we are at rumors of war. There are rumors of war flying everywhere. And what this means is there are rumors that we will begin to fight a war. Not like, hey, did you hear about that war over there that's not going on? No, it's we're at standoff with them. And at any moment, somebody does the wrong thing, makes a wrong decision, we are going to take over. We're going to go at war. So we are at this time, I think we are in absolute fulfillment of this, how to know when Jesus is coming. Hear wars and rumors of wars. See not that you be troubled. Okay, wait a minute. We have nuclear bombs. We have people that talk about sneaking dirty bombs into our nation, can go off anywhere, and we're not to be worried. And I know that our news didn't really cover this a whole lot. We only got a glimpse of it. But China, in their national news, said that they could hit us with nuclear bombs from their submarines off the coast of California that could reach the fallout, could reach all the way to Madison, Wisconsin. We are right on the edge of where they predict that they could destroy half the nation. And what do we report? Nothing. We ignore it. What else happens in our news? How many times are we buzzed by war planes out in one of the gulfs over in the Middle East? But not only that, Russia on a regular basis is flying bombers along our coast, coming in to the legal limit that they can. And we are rushing our fighters out to intercept them. And all this is a big chess game to them. It's a big showing of muscles, showing of power. But all it takes is one person, one radio to go out, one person's GPS to go out, and all of a sudden they're coming in closer than they're supposed to. And you shoot one plane down, and then all of a sudden our plane was not in your side. Yes, it was. And then we're at war. How can we not be troubled when all this is going on? Because God tells us not to be troubled. And if he tells us not to be troubled, then it's possible not to be troubled. Because we can throw our cares upon the Lord. And so what else does he say? In verse 7, he says, "For nations shall rise up against nation, kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, and these are the beginning of sorrow." Now notice he says not trouble, but he says these are the beginning of troubling times. And I believe we have gotten over in the edge of that. And can I tell you, this is not doctrine. I will always be clear. And oh man, I want to talk so much more about this, but I really need to end it right now. But I want to talk about this for a second. Jesus died and rose again on the third day, right? And so a thousand years is as one day to the Lord, right? So when we hit 2000, we ended 2 days. We ended 2 days. This is not biblical. This is just the way my mind works. But if we want to get, use God's word on that, 2000 was the end of the second day. And 2001 was the birth of morning. It was the birth of the third day morning. And then I've heard some people say, well, no, Jesus didn't die until, 33 years after, or, whatever AD, BC, all this good stuff. And so, all right, so even if I'm off in my math just a little bit, we are on the brink, right on the third day beginning. And Jesus said, "I will die, go to heaven, rise again, and I will be back soon. I will be back soon." We have just crossed over into midnight 01 on the third day. I believe Jesus is coming. And let me say this. I'm going to end right here. I had so much more scripture I wanted to get to. But you just pull all of this out of me. It's your fault. I didn't even know what time it was, and so I apologize. But this is a statement I want to tell you. Jesus is coming back. And there was a time in my life that I did not believe that Jesus was coming back in my lifetime. I was at a point where I looked and I said, there's too much that must be done. God cannot possibly come back in my lifetime. And you know what that is? Me putting God in a little box. Me trying to figure out how God operates and what has to take place and how fast God can cause things to come to pass. God can cause things to come to pass very fast. I always say in my house every once in a while, I leap and hope I don't come back down. It's my rapture practice. I practice. I'm like, darn, not yet. And I have asked the Lord to please come, prompt me, because he says no man shall know exactly when he's coming. But just give me a little prompt. I won't know, but just give me a prompt. And so then I could say I jumped and didn't come back down. That will be good. And so I just want to read this. That's the beginning of sorrows, but verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Can I tell you this? The gospel is going across the world. China, the bamboo curtain falling. Soviet Russia, Soviet USSR failed. They wouldn't allow the gospel to come in. Any nation that sets itself up to oppose the gospel will fall for the sake of the kingdom of God. Next week, you don't want to miss it. We're going to get into the church, the function of the church when it comes to the Antichrist, our power in the end days, what we can do, what we can't do. And we're going to get into that in a little better detail next week. So do not miss it. But I want you to know something. This scripture in Matthew 24, we are in fulfillment of this scripture. Everything that he prophesied that the end is coming is here. It is happening now. The gospel is being preached around the world, and the internet is live.